Hello, everyone. This is Esperantha Ray, your host with New Consciousness, New World. Welcome back to our show. And before we get started, I would like to talk to you about two special guests that are coming up in the next couple of months. And we have first Drs. Hertog, Desiree and James Hertog from Future Sciences, who will be talking about their new book, The Overself Awakening. It's basically a guidebook for the school of the schoolhouse of the soul. It's an incredible book with amazing, very powerful meditations, and basically it guides you through the whole process of the awakening. And it has these amazing, colorful images of different aspects of ourselves, which is the different levels of consciousness that can take place within the human body, mind, and spirit. And specifically, it addresses aspects like the Christ self, the over-self, the Elohistic self, I already said the Christ consciousness, the physical self, and the consciousness vehicle. So if you would like to join us on August 5th, again, Dr. J. James Hertog and Desiree Hertog will be with us for the entirety of the show. So I hope you will join us again at 9 to 10 on August 5th. Following that, in September the 16th, we will also have on the show Dr. Eric Pearl, along with Frederick Ponslov, and they are going to be talking about Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life. This is a very interesting book as well, and maybe some of you already know Dr. Eric Pearl, who's very famous for the reconnective healing. He travels worldwide, and this is what Solomon states in the back of the book. I am here to help you remember who you are, the greatness that you are, the greatness that is in all human life forms, and the respect with which somebody should be treated. Once that is fully realized, then you have paradise. So again, Dr. Eric Pearl and Frederick Ponslov. I believe Frederick Ponslov is actually the medium that receives these messages from Solomon, and obviously they have relation to Dr. Pearl and his reconnecting healing, and that will be very interesting. So again, that's the 16th of September. Join us for that. And if you don't recall, just go to the website researchcia.com. I'll be putting it on within the next couple of days. It'll be up on the website, and we'll also be featuring it through the BBS radio show, so you can go on there to Station 1 and look at the Monday presentations, and we'll have the dates and times that these people are going to be on this show. For today, we're going to be talking about angels, and I want to share with you a little bit of the experiences with angels. I wrote a book which is currently being edited. It's in reality, it's my first book, but then I passed on to what I've been discussing on the show for a while, which is Hope Reigns Beyond 2012. And the book, my experiences with Angel book, is currently being edited, and hopefully I should be publishing that shortly. And basically, it relates on 11 chapters, and each chapter is an individual story of a given experience with angels. Now, granted that I've had more than just 10, but I thought that for the first book, this was enough to get the message across, because this is not something that I can do exclusively. This is something that you, I, everyone has the ability to. The only requirement is that you set the intent and you take the action to meditate and connect with your divine flame, with a divine essence that's within you, so that you can manifest, you can establish this connection. if you want to look at it, a simple way to look at it is it's the same type of relationship, or it works in the same manner that it would for you to establish a relationship with a best friend or with someone that you really connect with well. You kind of begin to know each other. You're introduced. You learn your names. You find out you have several interests in common. And it just gradually grows. Well, with your divine self, with the higher essence, and with the angels, it is through the divine essence that goes in through the heart energy center that you are able to transcend space-time and connect with your angels, to connect with the hierarchies of light, and ultimately connect with the God consciousness and become Christed. So today I'm going to share with you one of the stories that I wrote in the book. And this story, specifically my first angel, this was the first experience I've had with angels. And interesting enough, this experience came about as I was doing a session, which is called rebirthing. Maybe some of you have heard about it. And through the rebirthing process, the reason it's called rebirthing is because you're basically, when you use the technique or the method of breathing that they teach you, the most common experience is that you go through the birthing process. The birthing when you came and incarnated into this world and manifested in this reality, in this physical reality that we call, you know, our home, our world, and so on. The interesting part of this technique is that in my case, it didn't happen the first session. It happened actually in the second session. But it was not like a near-life death experience where you go into the tunnel of light because you've been pronounced brain dead. This was more an intentional passing to the other side and experiencing what was happening on the other side. So let's start a little bit on this short story. So basically, during my first rebirthing exercise, I find myself in a state of transcending time and space where I pass over to the other side and experience my birth. In this luminous space, I meet my guardian angel, which is the first angel I have ever had contact with. And through this experience, I view the Akashic records and the preparation for my current life. So, you know, this is a process that most of us go through before we are incarnate and come into this world and the physical world. At this point, through looking at the Akashic records, I understand my purpose on Earth. I feel the connection between the mother and the child. As the mother carries the child, the child basically experiences everything the mother experiences through the womb, because it's all vibrational light energy, and it's our energy field is very large. And of course, obviously, for a small baby that is within the womb, this is even more so, because your energy is within someone else's energy and your vibration experiences and is impacted by everything the person that you are in experiences. I also was aware of the existence of the multidimensional existence. The story basically ends with the lessons learned from the experience and the challenge for the reader to do the same. But let's go a little more into detail. Basically, when you do rebirthing, it's called a session, and the intent of the session is to experience your rebirth and also to connect with who you are, what you are, and why you're here. That's really the ultimate purpose. Now, that may require a few sessions, or it might require a couple of sessions, depending on what your needs and what you desire to accomplish through the rebirthing. I mean, you can actually become, if you want to continue with doing rebirthing exercises, you can actually become a certified instructor so that you can do the rebirthing process for other people as well. And what you do is you go into a room, a quiet private room. Usually there's a mat on the floor for you to lie down. And then the person who is the rebirthing expert sits in the room and guides you through a series of breaths, which, he basically starts out with one type of breath and then he moves on into other breaths. So the first experience was I felt a lot of intensity in the body. However, in the second session, I just felt my body vibrate so intensely that the waves of energy just kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Such a powerful experience. All of a sudden, I'm transported from this feeling my entire body. And if you were with us on the last show, we kind of did a breathing exercise that accomplishes basically that, but it's a little bit different in the way it's done, because this is done for a specific amount of time and the breath is a different style of breath than the one we practice. However, it does allow you to access the multidimensional level as well. So you sit there, and basically the purpose of the rebirthing trainer or expert is to guide you through the experience and also to keep an eye on you to make sure that you are in a calm, tranquil state. You feel safe and comfortable and nothing negative can come into the picture. So while I was doing the breathing exercise and I felt this wonderful, wonderful, powerful vibration, is like the energy within my body was going, moving in waves from bottom to top and top to bottom. And then there was like explosions of energy within, like the particles within the body were exploding and moving and just creating this wave, because my intent was focused precisely on the energy and the movement of it, that it really, the energy just expanded and expanded and it grew and it grew and it grew until it was like explosions, like fireworks within the body. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful healing experience that you just wanted to sit there and just do that. However, as I was sitting doing that, what happened was I found myself in a dark space. I could not see anything around me. And then all of a sudden, I began to realize that I was in the womb. I was in my mother's womb. And as I was in my mother's womb, I began to feel my mother's experience. I began to feel what she was feeling as she was carrying this child that would eventually be born and become the daughter that is me. So, interesting enough, this also leads me to my first guardian angel, which is my, my buddy and my pal, and who watches over me and guards me and protects me. So let us talk a little bit more about the experience within the womb. While I was sitting there, or lying there in the womb, I could feel the fear in my mother's mind, in her heart, because this was the first child she was having. This was the first time that she was having a baby. And some of you know that when it's your first baby, it's a little scarier because you don't know what the outcome is. You don't know what the results are. You don't know what's really happening to your body. It's all happening for the first time. And because we don't know exactly, even though we understand what having a baby is, the actual experience is a little bit different for everybody, and our reactions are different. Not only that, but there's a lot of hormones involved that create a lot of emotion and, a lot of sensitivity and oftentimes not always a comfortable state. But I was experiencing in my mother's mind, I was able to see what she was thinking. I was able to understand how she felt. And it's really interesting because from a standpoint of a child that's within the womb, most people think of a fetus as not having a personality, not having a real life. And I'm not going to get into the religious aspects and disagreements and so on, but this was my understanding and my experience. And you feel like an adult. You don't feel like a child. You don't feel like a baby. It's only after you're born that you kind of regress because you cross the veil over at forgetfulness. Until that time, you are in perfect connection with the higher soul, and you're also in contact in perfect oneness with the mother that you are experiencing. And that's why there's such a strong connection with babies and their mothers and their children, you know, because there is that actual energy sharing of the mutual oneness in within the same body, of the creation of life and the care and the love that goes into doing having a child. So as I'm doing this, my mother is experiencing a lot of fear. This is her first child. She does not sure what she needs to do. And she has to, you know, there's work that she has to do every day. And being a farmer, it means working in the fields. It means tending to the animals. It means taking care of everything in a household that you need to take care of. And taking care of her father who was paralyzed for 7 years. So that, you know, that's not an easy thing to bring now on top of all this work, the reality of another child, of another life, and being responsible. You know, having the feeling on one hand you want this baby, on the other hand all the responsibility, the fear of will you be competent, will you be able to take care of it? You know, what can you do? How can you prepare? You know, there were no training classes like we have, Le Mans or any of that kind of for breathing or anything. And not on top of that, I was born at home. So what if something goes wrong? There wasn't a doctor for miles. So, you know, hospitals were not an option at that time. So you had someone in to help you give birth, and you hope that everything went well. So as I experience all of this, all of a sudden I see within this darkness, I see far up in the distance, I see a light. And all of a sudden I am pulled towards this incredible, powerful light. And as I'm pulled, all of a sudden I come out in this place where it's all light. And the best way to describe it would be the clouds in the sky, the whiteness. But this was even more bright. This was like fluorescent white, almost like a light bulb kind of result. And I, you know, it was interesting because it was a very magical, very peaceful place. And there was this gateway. But I somehow sensed that I was not allowed or was not supposed to go in through that gate because my understanding on the other side, that was probably heaven. And I knew, somehow instinctively knew, that it was not for me to return to heaven at this point. No, it doesn't mean I was going in the other direction, hopefully not into hell. That's not what it was, I promise. But I knew that this was like a waiting area. So I sat there, and all of a sudden I began to notice there was someone. I began to feel a presence in the room. The funny part is that this presence was so bright as well. It kind of faded in and with the clouds in this place, this cloud-like, beautiful and powerful room. And, you know, there was such a feeling, such a sense of calm, peace, balance, of wholeness in this place that it was like, why would I want to go back into that hole? Of course, at this time, I hadn't figured it out yet completely where I was. It was when I started to ask questions that mentally the responses just came. All of a sudden, I noticed this being, and he was basically a luminous silhouette of what a human body would be, but it was all just bright, bright light. If you want me to give you an idea or create for you a picture, if you've seen the movie Cocoon, These beings, when they took off their supposedly covering, they became luminous beings and silhouettes. Well, this was a little bit similar, but instead of having a yellow hue to it, this was completely white and bright. And as you know, white contains all the other colors. It does not exclude them, but contains them. So it was a very powerful energy to have this white being of light come. So basically, I started telepathically communicating, and I noticed that all of a sudden this screen just appeared out of nowhere, like one of those humongous flat screens that's huge. Again, it was completely surrounded by a white luminous cloud, but all of a sudden pictures or images, like pretty much like a movie, started to come across through the screen. And I began to see events of my life. I began to see situations. I saw myself with my family. I saw myself in the past. I saw in past lives. I saw myself in the future. I saw the result of my life, the purpose, the mission, the reason for being here, the understanding of what my higher purpose was, and I had an understanding of the great deal of responsibility that I had in coming into this life that I am currently living. And part of my guardian angel's purpose here was to help me understand and also to help me discern the best course in achieving what I was supposed to do. But, you know, I was feeling so happy. I was feeling so wonderful in this place. And when I asked this being, "Who are you?" this being responded, "I am your guardian angel." And that was very powerful to know. And the energy, as you know, angels have no gender. However, I sense like a little bit of a dominance, predominance of male energy. And so I called him or he, and I gave him a name, but you're not supposed to share your guardian angel's names with other people because that's exclusive to you. And as a result of that, I cannot say that. However, I gave him a nickname, and that nickname I also mentioned in my book, which is V. And he appears in my life several times through different aspects of my life. However, this was the first time I've ever met my guardian angel, and it was an incredible, powerful healing experience for me. Now, this is the funny part, though. At the time, we were discussing and planning what I needed to do and accomplish to come into this life, and I was like, well, I know I have free will, and the interesting part is like, yes, you do. And I'm like, well, I really am not sure that I want to go back. And he's like, why not? And I said, well, because my life, my experience in the world has been very painful. And I really just see the life living in the world as a world of pain, suffering, and anguish, and I don't need to experience that again. I don't want to experience it again. And of course, just as I was saying that, on the screen, this powerful screen, which supposedly is the Akashic Records, which holds the life of every, it's like a visual record of all life everywhere in the universe. Everything that has been created by God is recorded in these Akashic Records, and they're very powerful images. And so, as I said, I really don't want to go back. I was showing the life that I was supposed to come back. I was showing different key events that would take place. And one of those key places would be that I would move back to the United States, and that I was needing to do specific type of work, and that I would be here for a purpose, in that the United States was a key place for the ascension of humanity. And that was part of my task and my role, to provide, the help that was needed in this part of the process, knowing fully well that I was one of many people that had that purpose in life. So I was sitting there watching the images, and I was like, well, you know, I really just don't want to go back because I've had a very bad experience. And I saw all the fears, I felt all the pain that my mother was going through, and I could feel the sting, I could feel the pain, I can feel the anguish, I can feel the beating of the heart as it accelerates because you are not wanting to experience that pain anymore. You're wanting to stop it, the acceleration of the heart as it beats faster and faster. And there's like this hole in there that just wants to, you just want to fill somehow and let go of the emptiness and the pain. And he was like, but it is important that you return because you have a purpose. You have things to do. And your life makes a difference. Not just because it was my life. I mean, there are many people in the world whose life makes a difference. Every person's life makes a difference in our world in different ways. However, it was important. There was a purpose, a reason for my coming back and for being here. And again, I was like, well, but you know what? I do have free will. So I really, I was being very facetious here. I really don't need to go back, and you can't make me. And he was like, well, again, you have to realize these angels, they're so gentle. When they work with you, they're so, because they are very respectful of our free will. They recognize that that is one thing that cannot be violated. It is the greatest sin that can be committed against any human being because God has given us this gift. We are given the gift of free will. We are made in the divine image of God, and as such, we are given the gift of free will. No one can take that away from us unless we decide to allow someone to take it away or to give it to them by believing that someone else can take it away. Or out of fear. If we sit in love, we hold on to that power. When we live in fear or hate, we let go of that power and we give it away to someone else. We allow them to hold on and take charge of our power, of our life, and sometimes even our very body and soul. So he was very, very gentle. V was trying to explain the need for my being here. There are certain level of experiences that I needed to go through in order to fulfill or finish my learning process in this specific lifetime. All right. Now, I was like, well, I really don't want to go back, and you can't make it. I refuse to experience the pain. Now, you have to understand, until this moment in my life, I had always had a feeling of not wanting to be here, not belonging on this planet, that I didn't quite fit in. But what I didn't realize is I had this terrible sensation and kind of a little bit of depression and despair, not extreme, but in the deep down, that's what I felt, because I felt that the world was a place of pain, of sorrow, and no joy or love or light or peace. That was my perception. But it wasn't a made-up perception. It was a real perception, because turns out that I had been born. And within 24 hours, I died. I was premature, and I passed away. So when I passed away, I actually went back to that process. I could feel the air, because my lungs were not properly formed. I could feel the air cutting through my lungs. I felt the suffocation process, not truly suffocation in the sense that, you know, I couldn't breathe, but it was more that it was just very painful to inhale the air, and it hurt, and it was, you know, it was a very painful experience, and knowing that I died. And so this, I was remembering this through the rebirthing process. I was actually going back to this state and understand why I had this perception of the world as being such a horrible place, as being a place that I didn't want to be in, that I didn't want to live in. All right. And I explained a lot of my behavior and my perception of the world that I had created around myself based on these past experiences. I actually, after I died, and you're wondering, well, how can you die if you're here? Well, it's very simple. What happened was my mother had a baby girl a year prior to my birth. Turns out this baby girl was me. It turns out that was my soul. That baby girl lasted 24 hours, all right? And, of course, in those days, children were baptized, you know, because otherwise people thought they went to a lost place or even went to hell. And so when you baptized them, gave them a name, and all their sins were taken away, and they were, you know, born to eternal life, so then they could come into heaven and be born or come into heaven and actually exist within the God presence. Well, those were misconceptions, of course, but nonetheless, that's what happened. And I only lived 24 hours because I was premature. I was born at home and there were no incubators. There were no doctors. So there was nothing that could actually help me to remain alive. And that's how long I lasted, 24 hours. Within a year, I was born again. And I was remembering the process between one life and the other. So I was now deciding if I was going to come to this space-time, which is the year after. And I was given the same exact name as what my mom calls my sister. And I later learned that that sister was me. It was the same very soul that had existed in the first body. And that's why I had that negative perception, this anguish and this knowing that the world was so painful and so such a hard place to be. So there is always a reason why we have certain fears and we have certain belief systems. Some of them are conditioned and some of them are based on experiences that we've been through. So here we are, again, back with V. And we are sitting there and he's like, well, you understand that you are going to meet these people. You are going to interact with these people. These people are going to be in your life. You're going to experience love. You're going to experience wonderful friendships. You're going to experience wonderful job opportunities. You're going to be doing this kind of work. You're going to be helping in this. Other people are going to help you in that. You know, so I was being shown for a few more minutes events. And the funny part is that these events were moving like in fast forward, but slow enough for me to kind of understand and get insights into different aspects of my life, different reasons and different knowing of what I was to do and what I was supposed to be in and what plans I was supposed to make and what things I was supposed to fulfill, as well as learn from others and, you know, share that knowing with or that knowledge by teaching others as well. And that was the reason why I needed to come back. There is a purpose in everyone's life, and we need to fulfill that higher purpose. And oftentimes, we don't, and we have to be incarnated again because we are not fulfilling those reasons or we're not fulfilling those purposes. And trust me, it's better to fulfill those purposes than to have to come over and over and over. And it's like hitting your head against the wall if we don't want to move forward. So that was very, but it was disturbing for me because I was like, if I don't have to go back, if I have free will, if I think this place I know I experienced was painful, why would I want to go back? Heck, I'm happy here. I'm so fulfilled. I'm so whole. I mean, it's undescribable to be honest with you. It's very difficult to put into words what it's like to be, even though I wasn't in heaven, I was in a waiting room, and And I knew that I didn't have to come back. I knew that if I chose to, I didn't have to come back. So my friend V said, can you hold on a moment, because I would like to check on something. So of course he crossed over the gateways, and I have to tell you, I was very tempted, to understand who was on the other side and what was on the other side. Of course, I wanted to know what was heaven all about, what it was that was out there. And obviously, knowing that just being in this waiting room was so empowering, so fulfilling, so joyous, so peaceful, so balanced, and such feeling of fulfillment and wholeness, which is indescribable in words, I wonder what would happen if I did cross over. And I have to tell you, I did walk over to the edge. And just as I did, obviously, my guardian angel came out. And we sat there in a cloud-like shape chair. Like I said, everything was luminous. Even what I was wearing was a long tunic, a white tunic. Of course, I was not as luminous as my guardian angel, but, it was different nonetheless. So we just sat there looking at each other, and he was like, well, you really know that it would be best if you went back. Yes, you have free will, but the key is that you know what you have to do. There was a reason why you chose to incarnate into the world. There's experiences that you need to learn from. There is gifts that you're supposed to develop, gifts that you are supposed to share, gifts that will be shared with you. And most of all, it is important that you heal this feeling that the world is a very painful place. And I mean, he made all the right arguments, no question about it. I mean, he's an angel. How can you argue with an angel? But I was like, hell no, I'm not going back. And I was at this point, I was stamping my feet and I was angry and I was pissed off. And I was like, I'm not going back. There's just no way in hell that I am going back to that pain, to that sorrow, to that grunge of a life. Disgusting. Painful. You have to eat food. You're hungry. You feel pain. You die. And you get hurt. Who in their right mind would want to do that? I'm not going to. I don't have to. So there. See what you're going to do about it. Of course, you know, they have their little tricks without impacting your free will. They have a way of realizing that ultimately it is your choice. So at this point, V says to me, well, you are right. You have the choice to stay. While it would be best that you return, the ideal is for you to return and finish what you intended in the first place, the reason you chose to go, and also to heal all these experiences that you have, and to understand the joy that you could find in life. However, if you choose not to, that is your choice. You are free to choose that. So as he was saying this, of course, already my head was going around, yeah, but I guess I'm not being fair. I guess I have a responsibility. I have a commitment. I was still not 100% convinced, but as we continue to talk and talk a little bit more, and we begin to look at the images on my life and see my parents, see my brothers, and see all my family, my relatives, my friends, there was such a feeling of wanting to be with them, such a feeling of, you know, love and in the experience. And V was telling me, it's all right if you choose to stay. It's all right. And then I just realized that I needed to come back. You know, reverse psychology works really well on me. So in a way, I think that's what he was doing, but can't guarantee it. So I said, okay, you know what? I agreed to go back. And I think I agreed to go back because it was my choice. If I had been forced to go, I probably would have said no, but I was given the choice. I was given the option. And when that happens, you begin to see things from a little bit of a wider or more objective perspective. And I realized, even though it was very emotional for me, I realized that, yes, there was going to be pain. There was going to be some level of sorrow. There was going to be some level of hurt. But there were also going to be very positive things. There were things that I needed to accomplish, things as an individual, things as a being of light, things that were important, not just for me, but for others as well. Just as others had important things that I needed to be part of, and they needed to share those things with me, gifts that I needed to receive and gifts that I needed to give. That was basically the ultimate purpose, because that's what real relationships are about. It's a mutual loving and giving of the self to the self, for the self, in favor of the self. And I agreed, and I could just see this little smirk on this kind of white mouth that almost blended in with the rest of the being, just like the eyes kind of blended in, like kind of Casper the Friendly Ghost, but even more less pronounced features. They were more blended in. And it was like, you know, this is what I love about you. This is why I love working with you. This is why I am your guardian angel. And that's because you stamper, you scream, you shout, you stamp your feet, but in the end, you always do what you need to do, and you always do what's right. And I was like, yeah, since you're the one who doesn't have to go back, it's very easy for you to say. But my understanding is a lot of people believe that the angels, the guardian angels, as well as other angels, don't feel our sorrow, don't feel our pain. And while it's true that love is what they do experience, they do feel. They do, because our energy, when they're around us to guide us, their energy is impacted by our energy. And they feel the sorrow, not maybe in the same way we feel it, but they are able to relate, because like I said, this their level of communication is multidimensional kind of communication, is absolute knowledge, where you're able to put yourself in someone's mind, get the images, get the feeling, get the understanding, get the intent. You're literally putting yourself in the other person's shoes. Fortunately for them, they're not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not subject to this experience all the time, and they can turn it off. But they are able to understand what we feel. They are able to feel how we feel sorrow. They are able to understand and experience how we experience everything that is around us. And they are able to experience the joy, and they're able to experience with us, through us, the discomfort, the illness, the desolation, the loneliness. And that is why when we pray, when we ask for help, they understand and they come to help us. If they were unable to feel anything at all, then why would they even bother? They don't know what we're feeling, but they can, and they choose to come and help us and to aid us when we pray and we ask for help, or when we talk to them and when we create a relationship with them. There is a level of connection and a friendship and of love and understanding that most people sometimes don't think exists between, you know, us physical beings and ethereal beings like the angels and the hierarchies of light. So that is my understanding from my own personal experience, because I've seen I've seen the sadness when we're sad. I've seen the joy when I'm joyful. I've seen the pain when I'm in pain, and I've seen their concern and their desire to hold you and hug you and literally rock you in their arms to bring you out of the state of hardship that we sometimes find ourselves when we're in this human form, when we're in this physical body. And they understand also very deeply that it's not always easy living in the world. So that's why we're able to be forgiven, while we're able to be given some level of compassion and understanding when it comes to some of the dumb things we do, some of the dumb shit we pull, and excuse the word, my French, but that is really what we do. A lot of times we complicate our life. We make our lives miserable, and sometimes things are very, very simple and very easy to do. So at this point in time, I say goodbye to my guardian angel, and I came back and I incarnated into my current life. And here I am with you tonight. The wonderful thing about this experience was that it was not the only experience I would have with the angels. This was just the beginning of the chapter. But my experiences with angels was very gradual. I mean, I would experience them on occasion, and gradually it just became more and more frequent, until it became like a continuous rapport and a continuous connection, a continuous communion with these beings of light. And so I made the decision, the right decision, to come back and to experience all of this. And, you know, sometimes in my home, I have this really nice large basement, and I can make a little bit more noise there because you don't hear it as much. So I will put up the record player. Yeah, I play records, some of the oldies. And I will start to sing with some of these songs. And all of a sudden, I'll see a circle of angels just descend in the room. And they'll just be singing and dancing with me. And it's just an incredible, powerful energy experience to just be in the presence of these beings, to be in the vibration and the energy and the light of these wonderful, magnificent beings, that they just come to rejoice, and to, if we allow them and we invite them into our lives, that they come to share the love that you experience as well as the hardship. And that's what you do with good friends. That's what you do with your best friends. You share the good and the bad in your life. And that's what we need to learn to do more and more often, to be able to call on these beings of light and share our life, our love and our light with them, and to develop this relationship that's so important, because we are beings of light. We are beings that are created by the divine. We are beings created in the image of the Creator. And the angels are also part of the creation. They were also created by the Creator. So we have a certain connectedness, a certain unity that holds us and brings us together. And they will cooperate. They will support us. They will guide us. All we have to do is ask. And I'll share more stories with you as as we continue with the show. I want to cover different aspects of spirituality, because there's so much to talk about. There's so much richness. And, you know, all is spiritual. The spiritual encompasses everything. The spiritual encompasses the light, the beings of light, the hierarchies. It encompasses all of God's creation. To be in connection with God is to be in connection with all that is, and therefore there has to be a level of communion and a complete connectedness. One of the things, the most powerful messages that they keep on reminding me of often, is our need, whether spiritual beings or not, the need for us, and especially if we are spiritual beings, to constantly be connected, to work with each other, to respect each other, to understand each other's free will, and act accordingly in respect to the laws that govern beings of light, that govern the universe, the basic truths, which are the truths of creation. They are the truths of the universe. They're the truth of light. They're the truths of God. And these truths are inherent and innate within us. When we violate these rules, whether we realize it or not, we are actually hurting ourselves because our very being is in vibration with these laws, with these rules. When we violate these rules, when we go against them, when we refuse to connect to part of what we are, part of creation, then we are hurting ourselves and we're separating ourselves and we're distancing ourselves, not only from that part of creation that is in oneness with us, but ourselves as well, because we're all one. We're all interconnected through the great higher creator and consciousness that exists everywhere and is in all of us. It's like trying to separate drops of water from the rest and holding them in your hand. The drops just want to go back into the water. They just want to seep right through. So unless you have a container, which those are the veils that separate us, unless you have a glass or you have a plastic or something that holds the water from falling through your fingers or and reconnecting with the rest of the water, unless you have that, unless you have that separation, then there's no way you can not be in oneness with all that is, with the rest of the water. The drops contain the basic truth of the water, and the water contains the basic truth that govern the drops. We're part of the whole. The whole is part of us. We cannot separate from each other. To do so is to hurt ourselves. It's to kill ourselves. It's to die. It's to degenerate. And that's what we're trying to learn not to do. We need to wake up. We need to understand the beauty of who I am, the beauty of who you are, and live within that light, live within that beauty, live with that, within that consciousness, and within that wisdom, and within that knowing. And the ultimate result is love towards all things. When you know and understand that all things are one, how can you be separate? How can there be racism? How can there be hate? How can there be wars? That's the only way we can truly fight all the negativity that's around us, to have an understanding that we're all connected and that we're all in within the vibration of the energy of love. That is the vibration. And also remember this. If you can take one thought for this week, think about this. If you are love and you hold that vibration, you feel no fear, you feel no hate, you feel no anger, you feel no shame. You know who you are. It is when we don't know each other, when we don't understand who we are, when we separate, that we lose sight of everyone else, everything else, and ourselves. And it is within that fear, that unknowing, that we develop hate, we develop fear, we develop anger, frustration, and all our problems begin. Because the lack of love means lack of respect. So again, before we go, it's almost time for us to finish the show today. I wanted to remind you, if you joined the radio show while we were, you know, during, while we were already on, I wanted to share that we are going to be having in the next 2 months, during August and September, two very special guests, and we'll be having guests on the show, other guests in the future as well. However, these guests are very wonderful and beautiful people. On August 5th, we'll have Dr. James Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog talking about their book, The Over-Self Awakening. And if you notice, a lot of the spiritual teachings that are coming onto the planet today are about the awakening process, is about the knowing who we are and the reconnecting or realigning or re-understanding the divine within. That is ultimately the key, and this is what it's all about. Now, the wonderful thing about this book, The Over-Self Awakening, it's a guide for the schoolhouse of the soul. It's a series of meditations. It basically gives a certain level of description, and then describing the powerful images that describe the evolution and the growth of the spiritual aspects of the human body into moving into the over-self, the Christ self, and the Christ consciousness and the Elohimic self, which is what I also call the superconscious or the divine within. So we start at the physical level, the energy centers. Then we move into the over-self, the Christ consciousness, and the Elohistic self, which is in communion with the Elohims. And so then it has a meditation and a visualization after the explanation. So beautiful, beautiful meditations. And each meditation has a specific purpose. There's one with the vibration of sound, which helps to do the threshold of the new songs of life. And there's other ones that drink from the eternal nectar of life meditation, preparing for ascension meditation, and so many more. So there's a total of probably 70-some meditations, I think 71 or 72 meditations in this powerful book. And then ultimately, it's the divine, the trump of the divine image, which is what I often talk about, the divine essence within and connecting and manifesting that in our bodies. The second guest we'll have will be at the beginning of September. Around the 16th, we'll have Dr. Eric Pearl and Mr. Frederick Ponslov. He's a movie director, and they're going to be talking about their book, Solomon Speaks, on reconnecting your life and how powerful that is. So looking forward to that. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week, and talk to you guys in 2 weeks.